Off the Ball Rugby.
This is a big opportunity now for him to silence a lot of critics going into the summer with a bit of a bounce in his step, going to the Irish Tour with some confidence built up, and you know, really grab that jersey.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Thursday night's Off the Ball. We're here on your radio until 10 o'clock this evening, kicking things off from 7:30 with Jake White, who is the director of rugby with the Bulls. He's in town coaching them ahead of the URC final against Leinster this Saturday. He's, of course, a World Rugby Hall of Famer and a World Cup winner with the Springboks as their coach in 2007. So we're going to do a bit of a career retrospective with the story so far with Jake White from 7:30. From 8 o'clock then, Richie Hogan, as always on a Thursday, is going to join us in studio to talk hurling. And then after 9 o'clock, we've got some really interesting pieces coming your way. We're going to be chatting to Callum Walsh, the Cove boxer, who's obviously based in Los Angeles right now. He's got a big bout coming up at the end of this month, so looking forward to catching up with him. And also Dylan Connolly is going to join us. He plays for Auckland City and is the only Irish footballer who's going to be playing at the FIFA Club World Cup in the coming weeks. It kicks off, from their perspective, this Sunday against Bayern Munich. So we'll be getting the inside scoop as to how Auckland City plan on stopping Harry Kane after 9 o'clock. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to drop us a message on WhatsApp. Cameron Hill has got your News Round. How are you, Cameron?
I do indeed. Hello, Owen.
And Nathan Murphy has been watching the golf all day. Nathan, how are you keeping?
I'm all right.
Rory McIlroy, if you turned it on earlier on, you'll have got this big leap in your heart thinking to yourself, right, it's back on. The summer of Rory, he just took a break. He's back, he's angry, he's playing well. And then the second nine, not so much.
Four over par for Rory McIlroy, which is currently 8 shots off the lead held by JJ Spaun. JJ Spaun's not going to stay there for the next 3 days, but it felt like it could have been a whole lot better when he got through his first 9 holes on 2 under par. He started on the 10th, McIlroy. And remember, we came into this with a sort of moody, cranky McIlroy and a McIlroy essentially without a driver. And certainly struggling with his driver. One of his worst ever performances last weekend. And he steps up for his first drive, 392 yards straight down the middle. Birdies 11, birdies 12. And you think, okay. Because I felt yesterday that while it would be insane to tip McIlroy to win this, considering what's happened over the last few weeks with his game, he'd still be my second favourite. Because all he needed was one thing to click, which was for his driver to start working again. He's gone back to the driver he used at the Masters with a different face on it, which, as we now know, is currently illegal. But it felt as though everything was in shape. But this golf course is an absolute beast at Oakmont. It's going to be a lot of fun over the weekend for us to watch, not so much to play.
Talk to us about Rory's demeanour all week. Has he lightened up a little at all?
Not massively. This should be the honeymoon period. Like, this should be the bit where you've just achieved maybe the best sporting achievement of this year. Never mind in golf, maybe in all of sports. Certainly with the drama of it, the most memorable one. And I thought this would be a sort of tour of the world for the next few months where everybody's just patting him on the back and he's freewheeling and he's contending in golf tournaments and he's got a big smile on his face. And really for the last while, it's been anything but. And he turned up at his press conference yesterday. Seemed as though was happy to answer some questions, not so happy to answer other questions, a little bit smart at times with some of the people asking questions, and just not the joy that we saw 8-9 weeks ago. It's just all it is when he won the Masters. So maybe, as he admits himself, he's been struggling for a bit of motivation. Maybe the come down from that night and the couple of weeks afterwards has just been so great. He's zapped of energy. He's wondering what the hell it's all about now.
It's all about the chase.
So he needs to set himself another target. He needs to set himself that target of firstly beating Nick Faldo and getting to 7 majors, maybe getting to 10, but maybe that's too great for him. Like, I do think the more we look at it, that his ability to stay in the top 10 in the world for pretty much 15, 16 years straight, and particularly in the last decade when all of the guys his age have fallen away at different times, he's always been there, not just top 50, but right there winning 3-4 tournaments every year. Maybe it was that bit that kept him working as hard as he did.
It's kind of mad, really, isn't it? Like Alexander the Great stuff, weeping with no more worlds left to conquer. Like, does the chase of the green jacket really motivate an individual all year long? Like, he didn't seem this cranky in the middle of the summer last year, or the year before, or every other year of his career after losing at Augusta. Like after he got the other three?
No, and the crankiness is partly because of what happened at the PGA, and he felt as though he was sort of honed in on as the guilty party around the driver situation. That in itself was peculiar because it's not a big deal. As we know, it's happened to Scottie Scheffler that week as well, so it shouldn't have been that big a deal in terms of his golf because it didn't affect Scottie, who went and won the tournament. But it also just wasn't a big deal in terms of the illegality. It happens all of the time. There's no way he could have known it had happened. We're talking the finest of fine margins. But it's the sort of vacuum that was left created all sorts of murmurings, people who didn't understand the situation. Well, was it a legal driver at the Masters and all this? And all this that just wasn't relevant. So I think if they come out and tackle that straight away, maybe then it wouldn't have been this story that dragged on for weeks. But, you know, he needs to snap out of this pretty quickly because he's coming to Portrush in a month's time. And there's going to be 80,000 people there every day and they want to see their hero. They want to see maybe the greatest sports person this island has ever produced in his pomp, strutting the way he should strut as the Grand Slam winner. And I just hope over the next few weeks he can find that. And maybe getting back to Irish soil, maybe being back home will bring that about. And maybe something will turn around this week. He's certainly not out of it on four over par.
He needs to earth himself here in Ireland and he'll feel at one with the world once again.
Can I ask, why does he do that? Why does he always give this, like the last few months, even since Augusta, there's been this embattled Rory that's kind of come out. He's constantly bringing up, we don't have to talk to you guys in the media. Like that seems to be a pretty popular refrain. Is that just how he psychs himself up? It just seems so peculiar in its own right.
That's become a sort of general conversation in golf where should players, and he's not the only one, talk after a bad round and after a disappointment and should they face the cameras? And he's generally got away with it when he hasn't because he's so giving more than anybody else for the majority of the year. But there have been plenty of times where he just hasn't fancied it. I've no idea what's the reasoning behind it. Maybe he's just a bit tired and maybe we're all reading too much into it the way we do for everything that applies to Rory McIlroy. It just doesn't feel that he's as chilled as he should be. And even when you think back to sort of post-Masters interviews of weight off my shoulders, you know, this means I can go to Quail Hollow for the PGA and just enjoy it. Not that it doesn't matter, but I can just properly enjoy it. Whereas now it's like he came in, the first thing he said in the post-Masters press conference is, what are we all going to talk about now? It turns out we're just going to keep talking about Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Because you keep giving us something to talk about. And you wondered this week as well, you know, the elbows out, as McGinley always talks about it in the commentary, that's Rory at his best when he's something to fight for. Would actually that work from this year? Again, maybe he did have something to prove, whether it was to himself or to everybody else. And he played like that on the front nine. It's just this course. I don't think he did a huge amount wrong. He actually drove the ball really well today. But what will kill him was the fourth hole, which is his, 13th. It's one of the easiest holes in the course. It's one of only two holes that's playing under par today. And he ends up right in the rough in the really dirty stuff. And his second shot goes about 6 yards to even deeper stuff. And he somehow gets away with a bogey. Even the 1 and 8, he's the side of the green and he has a little chip and it goes a yard and you're still in the same stuff. And that's going to happen a lot of people. So I don't think score-wise you would rule him out right now. I just think maybe where he is with his game, you would struggle to see him putting three rounds together.
Cameron will have a rundown of the scores in just a moment for you, but if it wasn't for golf and Rory McIlroy in major action today, there'd be only one sports story that we'd be paying attention to, because we've seen Trent Alexander-Arnold pick up a microphone down in Madrid, obviously a club that we all knew and he only knew that were interested in him very recently. You know, he played until the last couple of games with Liverpool, not knowing where his future would lie. He could be staying on with Liverpool. He could be going to Spain. He could be going to any country in the world. So what we witnessed today was a true miracle of linguistics. Have a listen to Trent Alexander-Arnold's first media appearance.
Buenas tardes a todos.
Good afternoon.
Gracias tanto al presidente Florentino Perez como al club Real Madrid.
Thank you, Florentino Perez, and the club for this opportunity.
Fichar por un club como Real Madrid no sucede todos los días.
This doesn't happen every day. It's a dream come true.
Estoy muy feliz y orgulloso de estar
I'm very happy and proud to be here.
Tengo muchas ganas de enseñarle mi juego a los madridistas.
I want to show Real Madrid fans how I play. I do realise I'm signing for Real Madrid. The demands are high, but I'm going to give my all for the team and Real Madrid fans.
Tengo muchas ganas de enseñarle mi juego y
I want to show those fans how I play. I want to win many titles. I want to be a winner here and enjoy playing alongside the best players in the world and Real Madrid. Wow.
Wow. When the interpreter is saying wow at the end, you know you've picked up the language of that country fairly quickly. I see Duolingo were taking pelters there last week because their owner said we're going to get AI to do the work of humans where possible. Well, he's been proven correct. He's only been on Duolingo for what, a month? And he's already been helped by their new AI process to the point where he's already fluent. Incredible. What a miracle.
Ironically, the interpreter sounds a bit like David Beckham,
yeah.
Who I think we didn't get that sort of press conference with. Also, I suspect the interpreter was employed to translate from his English into Spanish and ended up having to do it the other way around. That is impressive. That's very worrying, I'd say, for anybody who has children doing exams, you know, who are saying, you're like, you got to study all year, you got to work on your French or your Spanish for 4 or 5 years. And they're like, well, Trent did it in
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Definitely fluent. Had no idea that he was moving to Real Madrid before that.
You don't think Trent just did what we all did for the junior cert, where he was basically saying, my hobbies are playing football. I like to go to the cafe with my friends. And he basically is 15 lines and
I
got them all
two
out.
Two brothers.
He also then, in the like press conference, apples, when he was speaking English, went a bit Steve McLaren on it. He still had the Spanish accent in his English while speaking English. Fair play to him, I guess. Aside from the bit where obviously all the Liverpool fans are, you snake, you screwed us. Yeah. You've been planning this for years. I think it takes balls to stand up there and...
Did he screw Liverpool? Do those people who say that have a point?
Well, I don't think so. I think you do what you want as a footballer. Don't believe in loyalty in football.
Can you possibly be fully committed to your team if you've been learning Spanish behind their backs?
I think any period of that season, high-performing group, you'd like to see them pushing themselves in all aspects of their life.
Yeah, just in case. There's maybe free classes after work.
That would have been great just during a press conference, Trent at the desk and just fields a question in Spanish just completely randomly and perfectly answers.
If he really wanted to put it up to the Liverpool supporters, that's what he should have done.
Yeah.
Got planted a journalist, ask him a question in Spanish sometime in May, and he just fluently goes back.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievably impressive, I must say. Fair play to him.
It was reminded me of listening to Diverted and listening to Owen Sheehan's.
I was wondering, when I was at Spanish school living with that family in Guatemala, that fella looks suspiciously like Trent Alexander-Arnold. What's he doing here?
That guy can pass the football.
Yeah,
can't defend though. Never go far.
Second best player on that five-a-side, so he was. We've got one text in here from John in Limerick before we get to the news round. He says, McIlroy's lost his mojo. His boots are stuffed and it's time to move on and do something new with his life. So...
I wouldn't go that far, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw a different outlook on the coming years from McIlroy, and maybe a dramatic cutback in the amount of events that he plays, and a second period of his life where golf isn't the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, no, for sure. And who could blame him, really? But let's see how he turns it around. The week is young.
On this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, we had some of this.
I remember when I came to Dublin in 1974 to the teacher training college in Drumcondra. If you were seen with a Hurley, you were perceived to be a bogman of some description. That has changed enormously. The perception of hurling now is that it's the game to play. It's an element of indigenous Irishness about the thing.
And we also had this.
Cork haven't been living up to their name in recent years.
Yeah, Cork are definitely going to be coming out with something to prove. I think this weekend could be the weekend for Cork. Maybe Kerry again.
Agree.
Like Kerry, I probably have more experience and more footballers, but I never ever write Cork off. Ever.
Right there.
Set from experience.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning from 7:30.
At Oakmont. So the news round is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Where do you want to start, Cameron?
Well, as the lads have just mentioned there, Rory McIlroy, 8 shots off the lead following his opening round at the US Open today. The County Down native shot a 4-over par round of 74 at Oakmont. JJ Spawn, the clubhouse leader, on 4-under. Whatever about McIlroy, his playing partner Shane Lowry had a really difficult first day, finishing the day on 9-over par, world number one, Scottie Scheffler, is out on course as we speak. He's level par early in his opening round. Elsewhere today, Leona Maguire is level par following her first round at the Meyer LPGA Classic. The Cavan woman carded 72 today, sits it 8 shots off the lead in Michigan. That's held by Korea's Mi Hyang Lee, who heads the field on 8 under. We'll just dip out to bring you some results from the Diamond League, because Rashida Adeleke has finished 4th in her 400 metre final in Oslo this evening in a time of 50.42 seconds in her first 400 metres of the year. It was just 0.04 of a second to separate first and second, as Isabel Whittaker got the better of Henriette Jaeger, while Amber Anning came third there.
Okay, so none of her three that finished on the podium in Paris last year in that three that beat her, if I'm not mistaken. Let's move on to the soccer.
Yeah, Drogheda United have described the UEFA decision to expel them from the Conference League as harsh and unfair. Now, that's due to Danish side Silkeborg also qualifying for the European competition, both clubs owned by the American-based Trevella Group. So due to UEFA's multi-club ownership regulations, Silkeborg's better league finished of 7th this term beats the Claret and Blues finish of 9th in last year's Premier Division, meaning that they will not be allowed to participate in the Conference League. In a statement today, the Premier Division clubs say they will now take their case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Today on the LOI pod, Vinnie Perth gave his thoughts on the news.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's a devastating blow for Drogheda, the players, the management, the fan staff, all of that stuff. That's really, I mean, I've said this so many times, European football is to highlight your career, like whether you play in it or whether you coach in it. It just feels different. I know publicity around our league now has gone through the roof, and it's sort of, it's there for all to see, and it's now headline news in many examples. But Europe, it's just different, feels different, and it reaches far more sort of the sporting community. So a huge blow for the players and a huge blow for the staff and everyone connected with the club.
So this is going to reach a conclusion pretty quickly. The CAS hearing is going to happen pretty soon.
Yeah, Monday is what I'm hearing. The draw is due to take place next Thursday, so they need a quick decision. But it's clear that the decision from UEFA is that Drogheda United won't be playing in the Conference League next season, which is disastrous for the club. Obviously, there's huge frustration, I think, at the sort of inconsistency around the multi-club model from UEFA. The problem for Drogheda United is simply that the date in terms of submitting your ownership details changed from the beginning of June to the beginning of March. There are things that lots of clubs are doing, such as, you know, moving ownership into a blind trust and stuff like that. But Drogheda hadn't started any process, it seems, before the 1st of March. There's a real look, and you can question why that happened. I think there's the complicating factors in this are many. One of which is that, say, when that date was changed, Drogheda United hadn't qualified for Europe. Also, when Drogheda United qualified for Europe, when they won the FAI Cup, Trevella didn't own Silkeborg in Denmark. They only owned Walsall, and there was no chance of Walsall, obviously, qualifying for Europe. Silkeborg don't end up qualifying for Europe till right at the beginning of June. So all of this was happening in the background, and it just seems that Drogheda have been left in a position where they're going to be the unlucky losers, and it could come at a huge financial cost. I know there's a feeling around Drogheda that they may still get the UEFA prize money. So the way it's working is the draw is next week. Shamrock Rovers and Pats are going to go into the first qualifying round. Drogheda have a bye into the second qualifying round. And they feel because they have that bye that they will get the money that goes with that. My understanding is that there's a strong likelihood that they won't get any of the money at all, that they just won't be in the competition if they were to lose this case. And that's €525,000 in prize money, which is, again, you consider the general prize money around Irish football right now, it's catastrophic.
The loophole that they didn't exploit back in March, is that the same loophole that the Red Bull clubs use and the other multi-club owners?
I suspect it is. I think there's different types of multi-club ownership in terms of not all are majority ownership.
Okay, yeah.
And that is the case here. I think those inconsistencies, as we've seen around the Red Bull clubs, around even a Manchester City and Girona, and what the various links are. Obviously, we've seen it with Crystal Palace and Lyon. You know, some people feel maybe there's a greater political issue going on in UEFA around all of this, that, you know, Lyon are Paris Saint-Germain's main rivals. Who owns Paris Saint-Germain? And why would it be in their interest for Lyon not to be a part of European competition or Crystal Palace? So, or to punish their owners. So yeah, it's very messy. I think it's clear, obviously, they did miss the deadline. Like Nottingham Forest, I think, only changed their ownership model even after the deadline, but it made it clear what they were going to do in right. advance of it. So right now, unless they can make that case in a very short period of time to the Court of Arbitration of Sport, it looks like there's going to be three Irish teams in Europe. And there's a bigger knock-on effect of that, because it does seem that the coefficient is still going to be ranked out of four teams, despite there's only being three teams.
If
there.
You're not going to give the money, you can factor it into the coefficient.
You would hope that. And you would just desperately hope for Drogheda, for the town, for the support. As Vinny said, like European football is different. And that hope of getting through a couple of rounds and the away trips and all that good stuff is such a great reward for the supporter base. For that to be taken away on a technicality. Now, as I said to Vinny and Gareth on the pod, you know, some people would say, look at Douglas James Taylor, who's on loan from Walsall and was a key man for them in winning the cup last year. There's benefits to that model that have really worked for Drogheda United. It's just they never suspected, I think, that the downside would be this great.
So next Monday, Cass, we'll see how that hearing goes for Drogheda United. You're sticking with League of Ireland news, Cameron?
Yeah, better news from a Cork City perspective. They finalised a deal to bring defender Fiacre Kelleher back to his home city. The brother of Brentford and Republic of Ireland keeper Queeveen, the 29-year-old, moves to Turner's Cross from League Two side Colchester United. He's Ger Nash's first signing since the current manager took the reins from S-boss Tim Clancy, and Kelleher will be eligible to play for the Leasiders from July 1st. The Republic of Ireland senior women's team have moved up to 25th in the latest FIFA World Rankings. Carla Ward's side have won four matches on the bounce since a 4-0 defeat to Slovenia back in February. The US, who Ireland will play in a pair of friendlies later this month, are the top ranked team. Some other transfer news as well today. Manchester United have confirmed the signing of striker Matheus Cunha from Wolves. The Brazil international is moving to Old Trafford for just over €73 million, agreeing a contract until 2030. And Napoli have confirmed they'll sign Kevin De Bruyne from Manchester City. The Belgian midfielder will move to the Italian champions on a free when his contract expires at the end of the month. He's agreed a 2-year deal with Napoli with an option for another 12 months.
It's bad when you hear 2030 and think to yourself they've done a Chelsea deal here, and actually no. It's actually just a reasonable contract. That's how far into the future we are right now, that 2030 contracts are going to be normal. Anyway, that's my own inner turmoil to deal with. Brian Barry Murphy, no longer going to be an off-the-ball pundit, Cameron.
No. He's set to take over as manager of Cardiff City. The Cork native first needs to agree an exit from his current employers, Leicester, where he's serving as assistant coach. Cardiff City were, of course, relegated from the Championship after finishing bottom this season.
This is terrible news for us.
Well, listen, it wasn't great news for us when he went to Leicester City.
Yeah, we haven't had him for quite some time.
No, he's been busy. Listen, I would put it to him, and we'll put it to him, as this is a scouting opportunity.
Yes.
You know, loan players, you get to go into the dugout after, or you get to go down the tunnel and tap up some guys, unbeknownst to the authorities. So yeah, hopefully. It's great. Like, suddenly, we touched on this when Brian started working with us after he'd left Manchester City, and he was in the mix for the Cardiff job previously, which again maybe says a lot about the Cardiff job. It's a tough gig. Like, you're managing the team, but more than that, you're managing the owner. And, you know, Brian has a good reputation as a coach. Obviously, he had an incredibly difficult time at Leicester. You know, I felt that was a really smart move in that if they got relegated, he'd probably be in the mix to get the job. And if it went well, Van Nistelrooy might go somewhere and maybe you're in the mix to get the job, but it just went so poorly. It's clear they're going to have a complete clean out at Leicester. But, you know, we don't have Irish managers outside of this country managing at that sort of level.
I always think that when you say you're managing the owner, you should put like the tagline the same as the club. So you'd call it like Cardiff City's Brian Barry Murphy. Should also say like Vincent Tan's Brian Barry Murphy, or Brian Barry Murphy's Vincent Tan even would be the best way to describe it.
Who's managing
him.
Who?
Exactly.
That dynamic is the key. Now there's a documentary I'd like to do.
I mean, maybe he's working on it. Flying the wall stuff, if Brian Barry Murphy's out there looking for any ideas to spice up his life at Cardiff City. You're talking rugby next, Cameron.
Yeah, the Leinster starting 15 to play the Bulls in the URC Grand Final shows two changes from Saturday's semi-final win over Glasgow Warriors. So Gary Ringrose returns. He's in for Jamie Osborne at outside centre, while Josh van der Fleer replaces Scott Penny in the back row. Penny drops out of the side altogether while Osborne's on the bench. Jack Conan captains the team once again for the match in Croke Park on Saturday, while Ty Furlong and Hugo Keenan miss out with calf issues. Leinster are back at GAA HQ for a third time this season this weekend.
Yeah, nice one. We might leave that there. You can hear plenty more from Leo Cullen and from the Leinster camp ahead of this weekend by going on to our social channels. Do you want to scroll all the way to the bottom and give us your final story? It is Thursday night news round. We can only finish on one sport.
Yeah, yeah. Willie O'Connor and Keane Barry form the Ireland team for the World Cup of Darts. Which
don't say it in that tone.
In front. What tone?
You're the World Cup of Darts. You wouldn't speak about the World Cup of Football like that.
This
is fascinating because I don't know if there's ever been a team event where one team is as dominant as England are expected to be.
What is it, Littler and Humphreys?
Littler and Humphreys is Team England.
Yeah, geez, the depth they have as well. Like
you go below that. Yeah. Wow.
Ireland are playing Gibraltar tonight. Would it be a football level embarrassment were they to lose to Gibraltar?
The wind there is going to be terrible.
Yeah,
I feel like Gibraltar is a place where they probably play a lot of darts.
Why do you say that? Bleak place?
Not to call. I think Irish football has enough issues with Gibraltar right now. Those Shells fans left their mark.
Yeah. Well, good luck. It's happening in Frankfurt. World Cup of Darts. Come on, Ireland.
God damn it. I was in Frankfurt yesterday.
You could have stayed. I mean, that's I thought you were a darts man.
That'd be an awkward phone home. Why aren't you going? The World Cup of Darts is on.
Your kids have been left behind at school. Where are you?
They could have got Luxembourg friendly and then the World Cup of Darts. That's parenting.
Could have been a bumper week.
Letter.
Right. Cameron will have more on the World Cup of Darts on his bulletins throughout the evening. We've got loads to come here on Thursday nights off the ball, including Jake White, the Bulls head coach, is going to join us in the line next for a deep chat about his own career and what went right for him, what went wrong for him when he was Springboks head coach, and loads more besides. So that's on the way. Before all that, it's time for the Cash Machine.
News Talk's Cash Machine.
Now, there's another huge amount to be won in the Cash Machine this Friday. The number you now need to know is €104,000 exactly. And there are now two ways you can enter. You can visit newstalk.com/cashmachine, where you can enter online, or you can text PLAY, PLAY, to 57557. That's 57557. You have to enter by 3 p.m. on Friday, and then across the Go Loud network of stations, someone is going to get that all-important call. So if it's you that gets the call, you have to answer it within five rings and then give us the exact amount in euro and cent, and you will win the cash. So the amount you need to give us is €104,000 exactly. Over 18s only, text costs €2.50 plus your standard message rate to play. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations, and terms and conditions are newstalk.com.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.